Well, you know what I think. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to deny that.
I do want everyone to feel comfortable. And that's why I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
Please do not go religious.
Somebody's going to hell over there.
He better not.
Even the devil will speak the truth for his own purposes.
This is war.
Accept it.
Back to Jerusalem podcast.
Yeah, I'm back and I'm armed with righteousness.
With your host, Eugene Bach.
He just seems like he's got it all figured out.
He's a righteous dude.
Yep.
Hello and welcome to another Back to Jerusalem podcast. I'm Eugene Bach, your host for this time, and I'm coming to you live on delay from somewhere within the borders of the U.S., where we just finished our Back to Jerusalem Ambassadors meeting, which I'm so incredibly excited about because we had people from all over the world show up at the Ambassadors meeting. It's Ambassadors, if you're not familiar with the Back to Jerusalem Ambassadors, basically they are a group of people that basically raise their hand and say, hey, I want to represent Back to Jerusalem, whatever that looks like. Whether it's writing or editing or helping us on social media or putting together meetings for Back to Jerusalem at their own church, whether it's even just sharing stuff about Back to Jerusalem on your own social media outlets. People that say, I want to be together and serve with the Chinese Underground House Church in whatever capacity I am capable of. Those are ambassadors, and many of those ambassadors have actually become directors of our Back to Jerusalem offices in different areas. And if you've ever thought about becoming a Back to Jerusalem ambassador, just write to us. If you're like, hey, I would love to represent Back to Jerusalem in our area. I would love to share about Back to Jerusalem at our Bible study. I would love to share about Back to Jerusalem in my church. I would love to know what it means to be a representative of Back to Jerusalem, so that I can share about the challenges of the Underground House Church, so that I can share about the vision of the Underground House Church. If that's something that you would like to do, we would love, 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 love for you to come on board and join us at Back to Jerusalem as one of the ambassadors. We usually have a meeting every year. We do it in the Smoky Mountains. We usually get this big cabin. Everybody arrives on a Friday and we pray together, we learn together, we eat together, we live together, we pray together, and we focus on the Back to Jerusalem vision and what it means to partner with the Chinese Underground House Church to complete the Great Commission. It's a phenomenal time. Right after that, we actually did our Hackers Conference, and man, that was amazing. We had people that were from Air Force Cyber Warfare Unit. We had the individual who created the Express VPN. We had just so many amazing people there, from military intelligence to people that work with private companies. We had individuals that are employed by Google and work for Google that came and joined us at this Hackers Conference. And the things that we came up with for the year 2020, I'm just so excited about. I can't talk about them. I can't talk about these new ideas that we are right now doing, but they are just super exciting. For those of you that like the podcast, I got some good news. I think it's good news anyway. For the year 2019, we had about, if I haven't forgotten, I think it was around 48,000 podcast downloads for the year 2019 from 108 different countries, according to the guy who runs our podcast, which for that, from recording a simple recording on a phone, I want to thank you guys so much. For those of you that listen to the podcast, there are times where I literally feel that there probably will not be anybody to listen to this podcast. But after, you know, posting and putting up on the Back to Jerusalem website, I get notifications and messages and emails from people all over the world telling me about how you have just listened to the latest podcast and your general feelings about it. I get people that have dreams and visions and individuals who write to me in a prophetic manner saying things that the podcast has enlightened them on. I have individuals who have written to me from work saying that, dude, I just listened to that part of your podcast and I love it. Keep it up. I've got other individuals who say, wow, this is a really key part of me and my drive to work every day. I know many of those names. I know some of you personally that have been listening to this podcast. And I just sincerely want to thank you. For those of you that want more than just the podcast, or maybe you are sitting at work and playing around on YouTube, do me a favor. Go onto YouTube and click follow. We are putting up videos every single week. These are videos of me connecting with other people. I can tell you a little secret for this year. I haven't really shared it anywhere else. I'm going to put it on this podcast, but basically this year we're going to do a business as mission series on YouTube. A business as mission series. Like what? Because I know that there are so many people that have questions about our businesses in the 1040 window. How do you fund them? How do you know what kind of business to start? How do you find the people that are backing those businesses? How do you set up a business plan to start those businesses? How do you know what kind of people to hire? How do you know when to pull out of a war zone when you've started those businesses? All types of questions. We are actually, because I've seen some of the Businesses Mission YouTube videos out there, and they're as boring as snot. I mean, not all of them, but some of them. And it's just like, I think that there is more. I mean, the mission field is exciting. So why not show this pioneer spirit that is behind the business as mission concept, as missionaries go into the great unknown and start businesses from scratch and take extreme risks, some that do well and some that fail. And I will be sharing about those successes and those failures and all of the raw material behind it. So look forward to that on the Back to Jerusalem YouTube channel. You can click subscribe. That would be a huge help for us. The more subscribers we get, the more exposure we get, and the more we're actually able to capitalize on at least one of our social media forums. That would be a huge help to us. Now, this podcast specifically is for, I'm sitting here in a hotel room. I'm traveling, just came out of the Hackers Conference, and I got an email that kind of inspired me to do something really simple, but it's based on a question that I got today, but it's a question that I often get. I get it when I speak in front of college groups. I get it, you know, from individual messages on Facebook or emails when I'm traveling around with Brother Yun and I meet with people face to face and people talk about, you know, how can I be involved in Back to Jerusalem? Or more specifically, I'm going into ministry. What is your advice? What do I need to know before I go into ministry? And basically, the truth is, there are many books out there that will give you the advice on what you need to know before you go into ministry. And you don't have to download this podcast to get that information. There's a lot of information out there. There's sermons, books, videos. But for whatever reason, you clicked on this podcast to answer your question, what do I need to know before I go into ministry? What's your advice? Why did you click on this podcast? Maybe you're a regular podcast listener. Maybe you're a longtime listener and don't have this question at all. Maybe it just looked like a cool topic, but there are some of you that might not have ever listened to a Back to Jerusalem podcast before, and you clicked on this specific podcast because you are thinking about going into ministry and you want to know what my advice is before you go into ministry. And with all of the other sermons out there, with all of the other books, all the YouTube videos out there, I feel that there is only one book you need to tell you what you need to know about going into full-time ministry. One, that's it. And it's the Bible. The Bible has thousands of years of information compiled into one book. It gives hundreds of examples of individuals going into full-time ministry to serve God in different times, different settings, in different genres, in different years, in different generations, and in different cultures all around the world. But all those examples, all of them, can be boiled down to one single phrase. And here's the phrase. It's the first thing that I can tell you when looking to go into full-time ministry. That one thing, number one, is serving the Lord is not a job. It's not a job. What do I mean by that? I mean ministry is not a salaried position, and it shouldn't be viewed as such. Ministry is not a salaried position with health benefits, paid holiday, retirement, life insurance. If you look at it like a job, then move on to something else because you are not looking for ministry. What I'm not saying that you cannot be paid in ministry. I'm not saying that you cannot get health benefits and retirement benefits and holiday, paid holidays. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you are looking at ministry as a salaried position, competing with something else that you would like to do, but you end up choosing ministry because it competes financially with something else that you are currently doing, then ministry is not for you. Listen, this is one of the most important things when I select who will work for Back to Jerusalem full time. The truth is, I don't select them, they select us. God moves in their heart and they choose Back to Jerusalem. Every single person that currently works for Back to Jerusalem today and are people that are currently paid for working for Back to Jerusalem are people who volunteered to work for Back to Jerusalem because that's what they wanted to do. We did not advertise a paid position with a salary and retirement packages. We promised poverty and opportunity side by side. That's it. Opportunity to do what? Because unlike an internship, we did not promise an opportunity to work together with us and then eventually move into a paid position if you do well as a volunteer. That was never the promise. We promise poverty and opportunity side by side, and that is it. Poverty, because you will volunteer for free. There's no resources that we can give to you, but we will give you an opportunity to serve. And people came along and they volunteered and individuals were excited because they just wanted an opportunity to serve. That's it. They weren't looking to get paid. They weren't looking to get a salary. They weren't looking for holidays and retirement funds. They were looking for an opportunity. And there was never an idea that Back to Jerusalem would ever pay them a salary. However, when they came in and they volunteered and we saw an opportunity to bring them along to our team, we then presented them with a package that said, if you can come on full time and make this commitment, this is what we are able to do financially at this time because that is what the Lord has provided to us. Does that make sense? It may not make sense to everybody. If it doesn't, you may not want to continue on. You may want to either go back and re-listen to what I just said or stop this podcast altogether because it only gets worse from here. Number two, the second piece of advice that I can give to you if you're looking at going into full-time ministry is this. People in real ministry never work for money. I'm going to say that again. People in real ministry never, ever, ever, ever work for money. You can work in ministry and get paid. You can work in ministry and make money, but you can't work for money and have a ministry, and there's a difference. You see, the day you take a ministry job for money is the day that you no longer have a ministry. It's a job. It is security. It's insurance. It's something else, but it sure in the heck isn't ministry. People that want to serve the Lord and their needs are met are different than people who seek for their needs to be met and happen to serve the Lord. Throughout the Bible, we have example after example after example of individuals who gave up everything to serve the Lord, and that is ministry. We saw people that gave up everything to serve the Lord, and all of their needs were taken care of. Some of them became the most powerful kings in the land. They had all of the wealth in their castle. And it doesn't mean that they went to be king because of the wealth. They didn't go to be king because of the power. They went to be king because that is the position that the Lord called them to. You see the difference? The two are so closely connected and sometimes can be misinterpreted. But those that the Lord called to be king and became good kings were those that, those that went to be king and became good kings were those that the Lord blessed in ways that everything that they needed was taken care of. But individuals, had the tables been reversed and they had to lose everything and live in poverty, they still served the Lord. Those that step away from serving the Lord because it doesn't pay well are those that were never in a ministry or are not in a ministry. The third piece of advice that I can give for those looking to step into full-time ministry is if you are looking to be a pastor, a missionary, a kids ministry leader, ask yourself, would I do this for free? Better yet, would I pay to do this? Meaning, would I donate to this work that I am doing had I been in a position to donate towards it? If I am now working full time and have a salary from my current job, would I donate to this very project that I am volunteering for free? Because if you are not willing to do it for free, if you are not willing to pay to do what the ministry is that excites you, then don't do it. Do not do it. Because the moment you take that first dollar for the dollar's sake, then you are performing an act. If you get paid and then you do ministry, you are doing the ministry in the same way that you're working an assembly line at a factory. People that love their jobs oftentimes are individuals who do what they do for a living and would have done it as a hobby even if they made no money from it. There are many people that love their hobby so much that they dedicate a lot of their free time working on that hobby and even paying money into that hobby because that is what they love. That is our ministry before the Lord. We do it gladly. We do it joyfully. We do it regardless of what the advertisement is of what we can get paid or not get paid. The fourth thing that I can say to people that are going into ministry is this. This one is very important. The fourth thing that I can share with you if you're going into ministry is do not be afraid of poverty. Don't turn down the resources that the Lord has arranged for you, but never be afraid of poverty. Dang it. Never be afraid to be poor, ever. Don't shy away from it. Don't look for it. I certainly don't. I don't look to be poor. I don't pray for poverty. I pray for God to meet all of my needs, and He does. But if I'm looking at a door of opportunity of ministry, one in which requires integrity, one in which requires truth, one in which requires condemnation from the world, one in which requires me to be ostracized from my community, one in which will guarantee absolutely 100% poverty, if that is the ministry that God has called me to, I cannot be afraid to step through that door. So if ministry has been presented to you in a way that looks enticing because of what it can do for you, what it can do for your comfort level in this world, what it can do for the financial status of your family, what it can do for the security of your future. If that is what makes ministry exciting for you, then you are not excited about ministry before the Lord. You are excited about comfort. You're excited about money. You're excited about something, but it's not ministry before the Lord. The fifth, the last thing that I can share with you, if you are looking to go into full-time ministry and you're asking, what do I need to know? The fifth thing that I can share with you is this: never be intimidated by those wealthier or more famous than you. We often get into this psychological warfare where we might be involved in a ministry where we only have three or four people on the street that we're sharing with or feeding or serving. And then we come into the presence of someone that is well known and famous, and they've been on TV, and they've written several books, and they've preached in front of thousands, and they are greatly sought after. They have a big office. They have a nice car. They have fancy clothes. They have a lot of money. The facility where they work has their name on their ministry door, and it's big, and it's intimidating. But you, as a servant of the Lord that is in ministry to serve Him wherever He has you, should never be intimidated by those that are wealthier or more famous. I love it when Paul writes to Timothy and he says this: be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman. Who's a workman? Someone who is involved in daily labor. Someone who works with their hands, someone who gets paid maybe a little bit lower than common wage. This is the imagery that we get when Paul is writing to Timothy. Be diligent and present yourself approved to God as a workman. Who what? Who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. When you have rough hands of someone that has been working, when you are someone that presents yourself as a laborer, as a blue-collar worker, as a common man, or a common man in the gutter, you do not need to be ashamed. You do not need to be intimidated. You do not need to be envious. Blue-collar workers can sometimes, you know, be ashamed when they're in front of men of the cloth because they feel that men of the cloth are intellectuals. They come with some pretty pompous presentations and degrees and titles, maybe wearing fancy clothes, using fancy words, driving fancy cars, sitting in fancy chairs in their fancy offices, you know, all of that. But you do not have it. And you may think that it's because you're not worthy. Everybody's called for a different purpose. You are not to look down upon those that might have a fancy degree, that might have a fancy office. And that's very rarely the case. That's why I'm not really addressing it, because it doesn't flip the other way either. You are not better because you are a worker or a laborer or a blue collar. Blue collar is not better than white collar, but white collar surely is not, from what we read in God's word, better than the blue collar. But we can sometimes feel that, right? And well, if you don't, I do. So I'll just speak on behalf of others that feel the same way, where I can be intimidated by walking in with a pair of khaki cargo pants and a Columbia shirt, where I look like I'm about ready to go on a hike in the mountains, and I walk into an office where somebody has a very expensive tailored suit with, you know, the sharp white shirt and cufflinks. And that's okay. I don't look down upon him, but I should not be ashamed when I am in that presence, because I know that these are the clothes, this is the cloth that I've been called to in my ministry. And I'm meeting with a man that is wearing the cloth that he was called to in his ministry. And we are brothers in Christ, co-equal servants before him. And here's the thing. The glitter of this world fades. If you have it, don't reject it. But if you don't yearn for it in the way that you feel that you're missing out or you are less important or less worthy before the Lord if you do not have these titles. Look at Jesus himself. Jesus was not clothed in wealth. His power came from the Spirit inside of him, not the titles that were outside of him. And never forget, I was just sharing about this with a friend of mine, Gabriel, who came in. He's the founder of United Hive, this amazing phone software. You can download this application onto your phone. It's called United Hive. And basically, you can see where different evangelists and ministers and everyday Christians are on a map and see their testimonies popping up on a daily basis. It's so exciting. Gabriel started this amazing app while working full time. That's something you should always keep in mind, that you can work full time and be in full time ministry. The two are not mutually exclusive. If you choose one, it doesn't mean you have to abandon the other. You can work full time and be in full time ministry. And here's a secret that I'm going to tell you. It may not sound nice, but it's a secret that I think most of us know, but we may not share. Most ministers are a waste of space. I shouldn't say most ministers. Sorry, misspoke. Some ministers are a waste of space. They don't have a full-time job. Their only real-time job is to preach, and they don't even do that. So many pastors today and preachers and ministers have hungry churches. They have churches that are hungry for the truth, but instead of getting a teaching from the Bible, their pastor, their evangelist, their missionary is teaching them moral lessons based on a secular manifesto. They teach from the plan book of abortion providers, LGBTQ agendas, the politically ambitious politicians. Their messages are the ones that they repeat on Sunday mornings instead of teaching from the Bible. And that is literally their only job, to teach the good news of Jesus Christ, which is found not in the hands of abortion providers, not in the hands of gay pride parades, not in the political slogans, but in the Word of God. And if you can't teach that from the Bible, if you can't do that one simple job, then what are you getting paid for? What are you even doing? If God is calling you into ministry, that is both a scary time and an exciting time. Scary not in the way that you should be afraid and made powerless or motionless, but in a way that you recognize the holiness of serving before the Lord, and you handle that mantle with fear and trembling, knowing that our God is a holy God. And your mission is one in which is holy. And if God is calling you into ministry, it does not necessarily mean that you are supposed to quit your job. I mean, when I talk to Gabriel and I see all of the things that he has done so far with United Hive, I'm blown away. And at this hackers conference that we just had that I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, we had individuals that are in full-time cybersecurity and they're ready to serve back to Jerusalem but not quit their job and do it. They're going to be serving back to Jerusalem as cybersecurity professionals. The guy who designed ExpressVPN was there at the hackers conference and he's not quitting his job. He is serving in ministry and partnering together with Back to Jerusalem. If you preach the gospel and someone gives you a dollar, do not take that dollar if it makes you more excited than what you just shared. because money will ruin it. That's the main thing about ministry that I think is not really shared too often. Because as believers that are serving the Lord, we are not, mark this down, we are not to get rich from donations. If you get rich in business, God bless you. Hey, dude, great job. But if you get rich on donations alone, you have some things to answer for. We all, but be very careful here, because we all have a very different view of what it means to be rich. So you are not to judge. You are only to judge yourself. Do not attack others for the wealth that they have, ever, 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 ever. Do not attack a pastor or a mission worker for what you think that they should not have, or because of something that they have and you think that it's too much. That's none of your business. Zero. And do not join in with others when they ask you what you think about so-and-so minister or ministry that has a lot of money. Here's something that I have from personal experience. I have been so blessed by ministries where the minister flies a personal jet and might be considered to be wealthy by some, or might be considered rich by some. I have seen more money come to China from ministries that you would think are all about the flash, but they're not. I've seen, there are ministries that I could mention right now, you would know their names if I told you who they were, that have given millions of dollars to China and never breathed a word about it to others. But they are currently today being attacked because people think that those ministers within those ministries have too much money, personal income. Oh, but that's only a small percent, you might say. They could sell their million-dollar house. They could give up their million-dollar ministry paycheck and do so much for the poor. Here's something that I don't get from Christians. I really, really don't. It's this like Bernie Sanders idea of the gospel, right? You cannot help the poor by becoming poor. You can help the poor if you are poor, but you cannot help the poor more by becoming poorer. This idea that you must sell everything and give it to the poor, that's great if that is what God has called you to do, but you are not to demand it from others. You are not to ask others or tell others or judge others about what they should have and they shouldn't have. Everything that I'm sharing here is for your own personal view of yourself, your own personal judgment. If you ask me, you know, hey, Eugene, would you rather have 100% of support from everything that is sold from a lemonade stand, or only 2% from a ministry that brings in over $100 million of support? I can tell you in 5 seconds which one would go further on the field. A lemonade stand in one day, maybe 100%, maybe on a good sunny hot day in front of a good Baptist church, might bring in about $100. So you can get 100% of that, or $100 million ministry that only gives 2%. I can tell you which one will go further. I've been there. I've been in the situation of both. I've had the grandmas who've made the bread, sold the bread at a missions conference, and gave 100%. And we are so incredibly thankful, and that went a long way. But I've also been involved in ministries that gave a small percent of what the main amount of donation that they brought in, and I was incredibly grateful for that. Both were a blessing. Neither were rejected. But I can tell you which one went further. A 2% of $100 million will actually print a lot of Bibles, support a lot of missionaries, support a lot of broadcasts. It's not for me to judge. God moves in individual lives and hearts in many different ways. I don't know the shoes that that minister has walked in while being in that ministry. I don't think that I would want to go through their trials of what they went through to get to where they're at. You might see the glory of the where God has brought them, but you cannot remember the hell in which God brought them out of in order to put them in that position. The question is, what are you comfortable with? Because you need to judge you. When going into ministry, you need to know something that's very, very simple. I've learned this over the years of being in ministry for over 20 years, and that is what I am comfortable with today will not necessarily be what I am comfortable with tomorrow. Because as we grow closer to God, which is our idea, not all of us grow closer to God, but as we do grow closer to God, our spiritual tolerance grows smaller and smaller. Our spiritual tolerance of what we are willing to accept for ourselves in this world grows smaller and smaller. It's a part of the growth process, and you will stunt the growth process if you interrupt it by judging others. What is the difference when we look at the Bible, the number one resource on what it means to be in full-time ministry? What is the difference of those that God forgave and those that He did not? What is the difference? Those that He forgave asked for it. They did not point to the sin of others. They pointed to themselves and themselves alone. Those that did not ask for it didn't because maybe they thought they did not need it, but they did love to point to others. Those are the ones that Christ rejected. Those that did not point to themselves but pointed to others were the ones that God rejected. Those that pointed to themselves and not to others when it comes to judgment were the ones that Christ forgave. Never stop judging yourself. Never stop asking God for forgiveness. I'm not saying that you should not feel forgiven. Jesus forgave you, and you can know that you walk in forgiveness, but you commit new sins, and every day you are in need of new mercies. Every day you survive off of His grace. Judging yourself leads you to have a soft heart. And a softened heart before the Lord leads to forgiveness. Judging others leads to a hard heart. And a hard heart before the Lord leads to judgment. I'm going to say that again. Judging yourself leads to a soft heart. A soft heart before the Lord leads to forgiveness. Judging others leads you to have a hard heart, and a hard heart before the Lord leads to judgment. Some people might think that $1 million is a lot. You don't need to worry about a number or an amount. It all depends on where you're at. You just need to ask yourself this one question. When going into full-time ministry and receiving donations, receiving support, receiving a salary for that position, you just need to ask yourself, are you comfortable? Because that's all you need. If you ask for the Lord to supply you with all of your needs and He has supplied you with all of your needs, then what more do you want? If you have stepped out and started to do ministry before the Lord as a service unto others, and He meets all of your needs every day, what more can you ask for? When I look at myself, make no bones about it. Working for Back to Jerusalem, I have a salary, I have health insurance, I have retirement. I have built a cabin in Sweden. It's in a ski area that we love. I stay at hotels when I travel. I rent cars when I travel. I like to eat steak. I wear okay clothes. You might disagree with that. You may not like my style. I don't think that my clothes are super nice, but they're not rags. I feel that they're pretty nice. They're not suits, but it's only because I don't like suits. I don't wear suits. It's not my thing. I have money in a savings account. So what am I talking about? Am I a hypocrite? I have seen the Lord provide. I have not rejected His provision. However, there is a point where I feel enough is enough. Here's the rule that we have at Back to Jerusalem. You might experience this if you ever approach us at a table or you try to give us personal funding. Many pastors who tried to give me personal support or tried to give me a personal donation for coming to their church, they have heard me say this and they can be a witness to what I'm about to tell you. I have a rule. All of my needs, the board of Back to Jerusalem has made sure that all of my needs are met. So, like Billy Graham set as the Billy Graham rule in the very early days, I follow in those footsteps with that example and do not take personal donations. I start businesses, but I don't take a salary from those businesses. I write books, but I don't take royalties from those books. Why? Because everything that I've done, everything that I do, all of my needs for me and my family are more than taken care of. I worry for nothing. I literally worry for nothing. But I came to work for B2J without knowing or asking what I would be making or receiving as a salary. How did we start, my wife and I? Well, let me tell you just a little bit. My wife and I moved to Hong Kong and we kept every receipt for 3 months. So that Back to Jerusalem could see exactly what the living expenses would be for a family. At that time, we were a family of three before we became a family of four. So for 3 months, we kept every receipt so that the organization would know exactly what our expenses were. We didn't pay for our rent. The house that we moved into, which was 600 square feet, little small place, refrigerator out on the steps, washing machine up on the roof, it was perfect for us. You go into the bathroom, you sit down on the toilet, the sink over your knees, the shower over your head, you kind of do everything in one place. That was what we were excited to move into. I made more money in the U.S. military than I did in ministry, and I didn't care. I was so grateful that there were people that were willing to donate at that time so that the needs of my family were met as we came into ministry. But if they were not, the question would be, would we still do it? And I know that the answer is yes. Why? Because I was involved in full-time ministry and street ministry even when I had a full-time job. I ran out of time for the full-time job. I needed to spend more time doing ministry. I was not able to do the travel. It turns out that the U.S. military doesn't like it when you travel into places like North Korea and Iran. So that could no longer be my job. I worked for a police department in San Diego County. It turns out that the police kind of want you to be on location. So that was no longer a job that I could have for me to move to another country and be there as often as I was. So I had to leave those places of provision and step out on faith and believe that He would provide. But just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, this was so important for me and I want to leave it there. When Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fires, they said, "Our God is capable of delivering us. But if He does not, we will not bend the knee." When you go into ministry, that needs to be our mentality. My God has the power and the resources to provide all of my needs, but if He does not, I will still do what he has called me to do. I will not bend the knee to the God of comfort. I will not bend the knee to the God of riches. I will not bend the knee to the God of fame. I have always, always admitted that I have more than I deserve. I serve pastors inside of China that have a fraction of what I have. I work beside amazing pastors on a regular basis that wear tattered clothes and don't have two dimes to rub together. I have more than sometimes I feel that I should. I am rich in every way, and I'm not talking about finances. I work together with Pastor Shen, who walks around on crutches because his body has been twisted. He is carrying the ministry mantle that God has given to him, and I walk beside him. To serve beside him does not mean that I need to physically handicap my body to be in the spiritual situation that he is in. He has a church of about 10 million believers. He is the pastor of the China Gospel Fellowship. Walks around on crutches. There is a feeling that I admire what God is doing in his life through his present situation. There is not a feeling of guilt where I feel like I need to mutilate my own body in order to serve in the way that he does. Likewise, I meet with ministers, pastors, evangelists that live a much, let's say, more expensive lifestyle than I have. I do not require them to become poor and serve beside me. I do not require them to sell everything in order to go and serve the Chinese. But if it is required, I pray that it's something that I will not shy away from. If God today requires me to walk away from all of those things that currently give me comfort, I pray that I will have the desire to serve him so strongly that the riches of this world are only there for their temporary service, their temporary purpose. But I can walk away from them at any time because the riches and gold of God's love will mean so much more than that in this world. I wake up rich in every way and every day, because I feel that this ministry that I'm in is what I was made for. It's the reason I was born. It's the reason that I'm here. And if you are going into ministry, you need to have that same passion that this is what I was made for, regardless of what you think you can benefit from it. I want to thank you so much for joining us for this Back to Jerusalem podcast. Again, I'm Eugene Bach, your host for this time, coming to you live on delay from somewhere within the borders of America. God bless you.